The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.
Nearly two-thirds of employees feel underpaid according to a new salary and benefits survey from Irish Jobs. 64% of the 1,200 professionals surveyed said they do not feel their salary adequately reflects their skills, qualifications and experience. The research showed salary is the most important criteria for workers when considering employment packages, closely followed by employee benefits. Well, to discuss this further, I'm joined in studio by Ben Finnegan, Today FM reporter, and on the line by Dr. Tom McDonald, co-director of Nevin Economic Research Institute, and Peter Cosgrave, Managing Director of FutureWise. I'm going to come to you first. Peter, were you surprised by the results of this survey?
Honestly not. I think if you ask most people whether underpaid, I would say most people will generally say yes. I'd say what would be interesting is if you ask the employers, you might have got something quite different. I think there is a common kind of thing around the Dunning-Kruger effect. Those in the kind of who are the lowest performers always overestimate their abilities the most. So there is a little bit, unfortunately, that employees might believe that they're underpaid. The other part of this is the reality is the only time you really get to negotiate your pay rise is at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us aren't very good at doing that. And then we realize when we enter the workforce, you know, often you might get no pay rise in a year or 1% to 3%, and it becomes very, very difficult to kind of get those rises you want. So there always ends up being this brinkmanship that you realize the only way you're going to get a very significant pay rise is really is if you think of leaving, which can be quite tricky in itself.
That's an interesting point you make, isn't it? Particularly for anyone listening who might be new starting out in the workforce, that actually you've got to really broker that deal as you're going in the door, because that's the starting point and you're probably not going to move very far beyond that in the time of your career.
No, you're not. And I think a lot of people now genuinely will have people that they will coach them into how they will negotiate their salary, because a lot of people just find it very, very awkward or almost very good at negotiating for other people, but not for ourselves. And there is kind of tricks and tips that you can do that. So I would tell people that's the key. But the second thing is, you know, salary isn't everything. All of those things like pension, you know, life insurance, free laptops, that's all money. And actually, in some ways, they can be easier to negotiate. But probably the biggest negotiating point these days is about flexibility. Remote working, and many surveys have shown that that's essentially equivalent to about an 8% pay rise.
Dr. Tom McDonald is the co-director of Nevin Economic Research Institute. Tom, I have to say, this morning on the meeting when we read this survey, I said, who are the third of people who are like, yeah, they're paying me too much money? I don't know if anyone would really probably say that, would they?
Well, you wouldn't expect that. Everyone feels that they're undervalued. And Peter made a very good point. It's good to have people negotiating for you, and certainly that's evidenced through a trade union premium that exists not just in Ireland but around the world too. So I mean that is one thing that workers can do. But it's absolutely the case when you're young and you're entering your first job, you really don't feel empowered to negotiate your own contract. And it's only often when people do threaten to leave or do in fact leave to a new job that they do get that pay bump. And of course, what we've seen in the last 2 years is that real wages have actually fallen for most workers, with some very small exceptions, because of the cost of living crisis and the high rate of inflation. Wages have actually fallen behind in real terms. So I'm not really surprised that two-thirds of workers are feeling underpaid. And another interesting thing to note about the Irish economy is that we have a very, very high percentage of people that are overqualified. So 30% of working graduates are in jobs that don't require third-level qualifications. So they're probably imagining their skill set and putting it against their wages and finding themselves undervalued in the labour market overall.
And I do think it's interesting, you made a point earlier about the fact that, you know, we're looking at people now who are working poor in some ways. You know, there are people who are working in what would have traditionally been deemed, you know, well-paying jobs, but because of inflation, as you say, because of the cost of living, they're still finding themselves, after everything is paid at the end of the month, coming out with very little income that they can spend on themselves.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, less to spend than we had 2 years ago. Mm. So even though the labour market is booming, 2.7 million working at the moment, employment rates for women in particular are at record levels. And yet living standards have fallen because prices have gone up and wages have not, have lagged. And one of the reasons for that is wages tend to be very sticky. They tend to only change in a workplace every couple of years or so. So not all employees have seen their wages catch up with inflation as of yet, although the central bank are projecting very substantial wage increases in 2024.
You know, we talk about things like perks, pensions, healthcare, but also, I suppose, helping employees to save money. So like working from home, for example, you know, helping them to save on travel costs. That's something that you say could make a difference in terms of a package that you're offering someone when you offer them a job.
Yeah, it's very important. And certainly it is one of those things that we identify as things that are attractive to workers. It's not just about the money saved in terms of the commute. It's also about the flexibility that brings you in terms of your possible caring responsibilities. That allows people, particularly second earners, to stay in, say, professional jobs, for example, rather than having to switch to jobs that might have more flexible hours. Other things that can be relevant here and which can lead to greater inclusivity in the labour market include flexible hours themselves, flexible days. Obviously, you said remote working. All of these things are very, very attractive. And I think employers in a tight labour market that may be unable to offer competitive wages or the most competitive wages can instead offer some of these alternative things that don't necessarily cost the employer money but are of value to the employee.
Peter, you're an expert in future work trends. I mean, I suppose, is it an employee's market out there to some degree? Is there choice out there for employees? Okay, I guess it really does depend on what industry you're working in, how flexible and how much movement there is. But, you know, for the most part, are there a lot of jobs out there? Are there a lot of options for people right now?
There are a lot of options. Like all these things, it absolutely depends. There's always going to be newer jobs where there's a huge amount of options and maybe jobs that are being taken over somewhat by computers or AI that there's going to be less options. But, you know, in the main, we've got an incredible amount of people in the workforce. And as I always say, if you've got 2.5 million people working and you just need one job, there's a lot of jobs out there for you. I think the challenge we're finding is that a lot of the new jobs, so for instance, anyone who's coming out with a degree in AI at the moment out of our economy is going abroad, because bizarrely we don't actually have that many jobs in AI. We might talk about it a lot, but actually the nuts and bolts of AI, they're generally going abroad for that. So there is still areas that are growing massively, and there is always that fear of your job is going to be taken somewhat by technology. So the key has to be, whatever job you're in, if you're going to stay there, you have to keep upskilling, so you know that a year after you were there the year before, you are in a different space and you feel like you should be paid more because you learn more and you know more.
Ben Finnegan from Today FM News is here with me as well. Ben, you know, it's interesting, we talk about the options for people in terms of the jobs that are out there. I wonder, and I mean, I speak as a millennial, I wonder, are Gen Zs more inclined to maybe not settle for less than they deserve? You know, that I think that one of the positive things we hear sometimes about the younger generation is that they're more capable of asking for better conditions and better pay.
Possibly, and there could be a possibility that there is an element that millennials enter the workforce in years after austerity and were brought in at a very low base. And Peter referenced, you know, from employers, they may say a different thing. There was another study today where half of Irish employers say they're struggling to get employees, and 42% of them are blaming the high salary expectations from those employees. And, you know, I would kind of question, maybe this is a question for Tom McDonald. Is there a truth to moving on to a new job could get you a salary increase rather than loyalty? Because it seems now that loyalty seems dead, because even though 44% of employees say they got a pay rise last year, the majority of them said there was only 1% to 5%.
Yeah, generally that is the experience, that the best way to get a sudden jump in your salary is actually to change jobs. Now, that's not to say that everyone should go looking for new jobs all of the time, but the evidence does suggest that if you do have the skill set, that is the way to jump up a level. It can also be a way to increase your credibility in an organization, because you're no longer the person that's come up the ranks and is considered junior, but you're somebody who's been brought in perhaps as an expert, and that can be advantageous in a new job or in a working environment as well.
Well, of course, I think it's important to remember as well that it can be difficult, and there'll be people listening today who will say that, you know, you know your worth in terms of your own education, your skill and your experience when you go into something. But often, particularly in private companies, you haven't a clue what people around you are earning. You don't really, there's not often a wage scale or a benchmark, or, you know, I suppose, Peter, like, it is difficult sometimes to know, isn't it? Like, what is a reasonable expectation if you go in and ask your boss for a bonus, for example?
Yeah, And I think most people, though, would still very much shy on the wrong side of that. You have to be, your employer will never give you a pay rise if you don't ask for it in many companies. And you might think that's terrible, but their job is often to shareholders to have as low a cost base as possible. So don't blame them, just blame, that's the system, that's their job. Your job is to push for as much as you can. One of the best ways to get a quick kind of change is a bonus, but the only way these work is if you have absolutely tangible metrics that you can hit. And secondly, you don't agree it at the start of the year and then come back to it at the end of the year. You keep reminding them every 3 months, I'm still on track, because that way it's impossible for them not to give you the money. But actually what people do is they kind of have these vague goals, and then the employer vaguely says, well, we haven't done as well this year, so I'm not able to give that to you. So you have to make sure you are completely advocating for you, because your employer, you know, and they're not being bad about this, this is just the way they work. They're not looking to give out pay rises.
Thank you so much for joining us. That's Dr. Tom McDonnell and Peter Cosgrave on the line. Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate joining us here on The Last Word. Ben, I think it would be interesting, wouldn't it, to hear from listeners about, have you gotten a pay rise recently? How did you go about doing it? Did you advocate for yourself? Are you currently looking for one? Have you recently changed jobs? I want to know a bit about how you feel about your salary. Do you think you're being paid enough? Do you think you're being underpaid? You can let us know. You can send us, we want a voice note. Don't we love the voice notes?
Yeah, I think voice note will be preferable.
They're preferable. Send it to 087-410-102. That's on WhatsApp. I don't want to have to explain to you. We just press the button, hold it down, record 087-410-102, and we'll get to those voice notes in a little while. But stay with us. You're listening to Zara King, filling in for Matt Cooper here on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.